One day, while Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, those who seek find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That person who came and asked for bread at night reminds me of, it must have been a uni student, I think. Because when I was at uni, and here is an idea that I would encourage you to do, but not to me. When I was at uni, we were really bored. So I did engineering, and engineers generally don't do much during the day and study all at night. So it was about 2 a.m, super bored. So what we decided to do was have like a party that would go from house to house. But the way that we thought we'd do that, we'd go buy all the food, and then we'd just go to friends' houses and knock on their door and wake them up, and then have an instant party at their house. And then when we got sick of that, we'd move to the next house and take our friend with us. So we were rolling up to people's homes, knocking on the door, waking them up 2 a.m. Then after an hour, we'd leave and go to the next person's house. It sounds a bit like this person, doesn't it, in the passage? I want to ask you, do you remember the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? Remember that story? And Jesus says to his disciples, he'd been teaching all day, and he says to his disciples, they're hungry, and his disciples want to send them away. And so Jesus said, no, we won't send them away. You feed them. Go figure out what you've got to feed all these people. Anyone remember how much they had on them? 5 loaves and 2 fish, if that was what you said, you were correct. They came back with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that's what they had to feed 5,000, just counting the men, not counting the women and the children. Quite a crowd, a hungry crowd too, because I'm thinking they haven't eaten all day. Anyway, Jesus takes his 5 loaves and 2 fish. And in the passage in Mark chapter 6, this is what it says. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. So just put yourself in that position. You've got 5,000, probably more like in the 10,000 range of a people crowd in front of you. You've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you are going, we're going to use this to feed those people. At this point, how are you praying? What would you pray? Oh my goodness, God, this looks super impossible. I have no idea what I'm doing or how you're going to do this. I suspect we would pray begging kind of prayers. Actually, to be honest, none of us were going to do it, were we? We go, just like the disciples, go find your own food. But Jesus, it says, took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven and he broke the loaves and gave thanks. And he probably said this prayer. So the Jews have different kinds of prayers when it comes to food. And the first kind of prayer they have is the prayer that involves bread. And forgive my Hebrew, but it's something like this. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu, melech ha-olam, hamotzi lechem min ha-aretz. Roughly that. Blessed are you, Lord, God our Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. That's probably what he said, because this meal involved five loaves. And for a Hebrew, the loaves are reminders to them of life and God's gift from the earth. So it's probable that he takes his five loaves and two fish and looks at this massive crowd and says, we are about to feed all this crowd with this meal now. And he says an ordinary everyday grace. In our house, it goes like this, an ordinary everyday grace. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us food. Amen. Every now and then I go a bit longer than everyone else wants me to, but that's about the length of our grace in our house, right? And Jesus prays that way to do what I think would be an extraordinary and impossible miracle. Nothing more, nothing less. And then they proceed to break the bread and feed the crowd. So, why? Maybe he just missed the moment and how important it was. Or could it be that the faith that Jesus had to put into practice every day in eating his bread was the same faith that he had to use this day? Unlike us, first century Jews weren't quite sure where their bread was coming from. The way it worked is you worked today, and the money you earned from today was enough to pay for your food for today. So when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread, it's because they needed to rely on God's provision today. They didn't have fridges. They didn't have enough cash in the bank to withdraw just to pay go down the Woolies and get the food. They had to have enough for today. And the faith that Jesus had for every grace is probably the faith that he used at this point to do this extraordinary miracle of feeding 5,000 plus people. And the reason why I say that is because Jesus teaches us about the God he prays to. And he prays to a God that he would fully believe that if he asked him to supply the needs of these 5,000 plus people, he was fully convinced that God would answer that prayer. I'm not just making that up. We read some of the things that he said. I mean, Jesus said already that we should expect, when we come to God in prayer, we should expect God to give us good things. And he gives these examples of people who behave very badly, yet they get the right thing. They get the right thing, knock on the door at 2 a.m. and ask for bread in the middle of the night. Yet, even though you're annoying, your friend will still give you bread. Or the father who can figure out that you don't give scorpions to children, you give them the fish they ask for. You don't give them rocks when they ask for bread. So he gives these super poor examples. And he says, God's way better than that. If you ask God for good things, he will give them. So have confidence when you pray. Ask, seek, you'll find. There's no begging required. None. And that's why he says in Matthew chapter 6, this, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do you remember, I think it was Elijah, and he's got the prophets of Baal. Do you remember this story? And the prophets of Baal, they've got this god that they, the test is, you've got to call down fire from heaven. If your gods are true, then you call down fire and the fire will come and consume the sacrifice. If Israel's God is true, then he'll supply the fire and consume the sacrifice. And you remember what the prophets of Baal did? because they thought that they needed to get that God to pay attention, is they babbled a lot, they cut themselves, they did it all day. And Elijah, if you go back and read the story, teased them. He said, look, maybe God, your God Baal's off on the toilet. That is actually what he says. I'm not making that bit up. Maybe he's busy catching a loo break. Keep going. He doesn't do anything complicated. He just prays a very simple prayer and the God of Israel acts. And Jesus says, when you pray, you don't need to babble. You don't need to beg. You just need to speak plainly. Because God is loving. He's trustworthy. He knows what we need. He'll give us our daily bread. He'll forgive our sins. And the reason why Jesus says you shouldn't have to babble or beg is he says this in verse 8 of chapter 6, do not be like the pagans, for that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus uses this word about God that says God is your Father. And he has this, if you know Jesus, you know he has this really deep, intimate relationship with God. He calls God my Father. Now, we who've hung around church for a while are very familiar with speaking of God in that way. But the first early Jews, they weren't so happy with that. If you look, even today, when you go look up some Jewish writing, they'll have like a G-D, which is their symbol for God. Or they might write A-E-I-M, which is their symbol for Elohim, which is one name for God. They were like, you don't mess with the name of God. So they're very careful about calling God things like Father. So Jesus says that he has a Father in heaven. He used the word Abba, which was far more intimate than people would ever use. This professor, Jehoiakim Jeremias, wrote this. There's not a single example of the use of Abba, Father, as an address to God in the whole of Jewish literature. Jesus had this special intimate relationship with God. He said this, I tell you, the Son, talking about himself, can do nothing. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And so we see Jesus getting up early in the morning and praying alone. Because I would suggest he wants to spend time with his Father in heaven. He wants to hear from this Father that shows him all that he does. And so this relationship that Jesus has with God, he actually invites us into. How did he teach us to pray? Our Father. Jesus just doesn't want us to think of God as a distant God. He wants us to think of God as the God who is his Father. Just like him. That's how we should relate with our Father in heaven. And it's not just this idea that if you had a great dad, that's what God is like. No, it's not like that. It's being invited into the relationship that Jesus has with God. Not like I have with my dad. My dad's a good guy, but I'm sure glad he's not God. Maybe your dad's a good guy, but I'm pretty glad he's not God too. But we're invited into the relationship that Jesus has with God. When Jesus was speaking to Mary in the garden, he said to Mary, don't hold me. I've not ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So Jesus has this unique relationship with God. It's intimate, and he knows what God's will is, and he wants to do it and be obedient to it. And he says, actually, because you belong to me, you get that as well. You get to know God the way that Jesus has made God known in his relationship with him. So because of Jesus' relationship with God, which is intimate, he has this massive confidence that God will hear and answer his prayers. Massive confidence. You know, I think I might have mentioned this before, but parents have this really unique ability. And the mums in the room are about to find, the to-be mums in the room are about to find this out, is you can pick the cry of your child from 100 metres away, I reckon, in the midst of a crowd of other crying children. Even fathers, we pick up this skill and ability too. So for instance, I could be in church, and this is when my kids were little. They don't hopefully cry too much anymore, Nathan. But when I could be in church, and I could hear a baby cry, and I would go, that's not mine. Not my problem. Come on, fathers, that's exactly what we do, isn't it? I don't know what mothers do, but definitely fathers do that. But then you go, oh, no, that's mine. It is definitely my problem. No one else's. You can pick it because they're yours. And this is the confidence Jesus has, is he knows that his Father can pick his voice, in a sense, out of the crowd. He knows me and he listens to me. He's tuned to my frequency. You know what else is great about belonging to a family? Is you don't have to ask permission to get into the house. You don't have to ask for permission to open the fridge. You might have to ask for permission for the Kit Kat. But it's all yours. Ask, seek, knock. It's yours. This is the God that Jesus knows as his Father and knows that will hear and respond to his prayers. There's this really interesting occasion where Jesus walks past a fig tree. I'm not a big fan of figs, but he walks past this fig tree and looks for some fruit on the fig tree and sees no fruit. So he curses it. Fig tree, you ain't got any fruit. You're going to wither and die. Put that into your nice Jesus meek and mild box. So he curses it. And we're not quite sure how. In one of the Gospels, it says the next day, they come past, good evening, and see this fig tree, and it's dead. And the disciples are amazed. Jesus, how did that wither so quickly? And Jesus replies, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it'll be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, I've heard this passage used in very many different ways, but I want to suggest this to you. I don't know if it's so much about fig trees and mountains, but I definitely know it's about the God that Jesus believes in. That he's got utter confidence in this God he prays to, that he will work, and he believes that if you know this kind of God, then you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So, Jesus also knew that God was concerned about our lives. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches we don't need to worry about tomorrow, as God knows our needs and we're faithful in provision. So he says, so seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So not only is God, you belong to his family and he's going to give you good things, but he's really concerned about what concerns you. In the Matthew passage, he talks about what we worry regarding what we wear and what we eat, the basic provisions of life God is concerned with. So we see in Jesus' life times when he brings his concerns to God. In fact, what we see is the really important things. Jesus brings his concerns to God first. How many of us operate this way? So we have something that happens in our life, a challenge, and we have a go at trying to fix that challenge, and then it doesn't get fixed. So we might go and ask some friends, and they give us some advice, and we try the advice, and it still doesn't get fixed. And then finally we go, oh, God, I might talk to you about it. How many of us pray last? Jesus praise first. So just two examples, really important ones. The first one is when Jesus is selecting his future leaders of the church, what we call the apostles, the 12 disciples. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went up to a mountain to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. A super key moment in the life of what Jesus is, in what Jesus was doing. So he spends the whole night praying and asking God that he might know what he wants. He's got other people he could have picked from. We know that there were 72 and 150 or so others that he could have picked from. He picks 12. Interestingly, one of them's called Judas Iscariot. That's an interesting choice, isn't it? But after praying all night, he seeks God first for such a big decision. He then goes and makes the choices. All night. When was the last time we prayed all night because of something so important? Another time. Jesus, the night before he is crucified on the cross, he spends his time where? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Not as a garden party, as a time to seek God in prayer. That particular moment of Jesus praying is so important. We're going to concentrate on that in our series. But it's such a powerful time of Jesus seeking God first. He's about to do something that we have every reason to believe puts deep challenge in his life. And so the thing he knows he needs to do to be able to get through that challenge is to pray first. And he's got these disciples he's picked, and he says to them, stand with me. I actually need you to be my friends in prayer. Stand with me. Because actually, if you stand, then you're going to be strong and stick to God. He says to them, watch and pray. And then he goes off and he watches and prays himself. He prays first because he trusts God. He has his personal relationship with God. He knows God's concerned with our lives. And so he goes and prays first. In our passage, the disciples spend time with Jesus. They see him praying alone in the morning. They see him going up to a mountain to pray and then coming down with authority and acting. They see him with sick people who need somebody to bring healing to them. They see him pray for them and their lives are changed. They see that when they go out and they go out to different villages and they pray for people in the name of Jesus, their lives are changed. And so they say to Jesus in Luke chapter 11, the bit that we read, they say, teach us to pray. We see you and the way that you pray to the Father that you pray to, and we want to learn to be like that. That's what this series is for. It's because we still have that same posture. We are still learners when it comes to praying like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to have the confidence of knowing that I belong to our Father in heaven, that he is eager to give good things. He hears our prayer. I want to pray like that. Just recently, a lady in our church, she's very sick, kind of deathly sick. And it was a great privilege that Alice came along and we spent time worshipping and praying for Lois, is her name. And very powerful. I found it super powerful and difficult. But we're praying to God for somebody that we deeply love. And we're praying that God might bring healing into her life so that she'll have a long life, a healthy life, a full life. And the thing that we need to be reminded of is we're praying to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that Jesus says about this Father is true. It's absolutely true. It may not feel very true, but when I'm praying for people and you put oil on them, I just want to accept that when Jesus says all these things, he's not making it up. He knows what he's talking about. And I just want to trust it and pray like Jesus. Here are two things that you might think about as you go from here. The first one is your grace for meals. I actually say grace for every meal. Breakfast, lunch and tea are the three main ones. I don't have 11 season, all that other things. But breakfast, lunch and tea, I say grace for. Because I want to learn to have the faith that Jesus had for every meal. So I want to practice saying thank you and building faith that God has provided this for me. So I wonder if you could use grace, your thanking God for the food before you, as a way of reminding you about the good God who supplies and all our needs. The second thing that I think you could take away is praying first. Pray first. Got some things that you are thinking about and challenged by, pray first. Seek God for first. This is a thing that we've talked about at staff level with our church. Because probably if I'm really frank, we act first, pray second. And I'd like us as a people of prayer to shift that. That we pray first and act second. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for Jesus bringing us into a relationship with God that can be intimate, trusting, personal. And God, we would ask that you'd build our confidence in the words of Jesus. Because he teaches us things that I know for sure that sometimes our hearts say can't be true. There are so many of us that are afraid that if we ask you for bread, you are going to give us a rock. We're really worried whether you're trustworthy. There's some of us here that feel like we're not important enough for you to hear and answer our prayers. And Lord, these things are not true when we belong to Jesus. So our God, help us simply trust what Jesus teaches us. And our Lord, by your Spirit, teach us to pray like Jesus, we ask. Amen.